In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What a powerful reading. What genuine passion. So much drama and intrigue packed in these lines. We started the service today uttering Hosanna to the Lord, but end with shouting, Crucify Him. We started our service with giddy anticipation of jubilation, but ended with execution. No sermon or homily can do justice to this reading of the Passion. There is so much to unpack and take it in. Thank God we have a whole week to pause, to back up and replay in slow motion this whole story we just heard. By this time next Sunday we will know how this drama ends. Yet, like children hearing our favorite story again and again, we pretend we don't know how it ends, so that we can hear again the story of our redemption. In our rehearing and replaying the story, we reflect on and go deeper into the mysteries of redemption. However, unfortunately for some of us, it is not conducive or convenient to come back and observe in slow motion the events that leading up to how Jesus was arrested, how he was on trial, how he was wrongly accused, spat upon, abused, tortured, and finally crucified. Next time many of us will be back here in the church is only on Easter. Many of us are going to miss the most deeply and meaningful services of Maundy Thursday with its washing of feet, procession to the altar of repose, and the stripping of the altar. And some of us will miss the Good Friday service with its veneration of the cross. We let other things stand in the way for us to fully participate in the reenactment of the passion and suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thus we deny ourselves the opportunity for change and transformation. Doesn't it cause us to think of our loyalty and our commitment to our faith and our life in Jesus Christ? I find it disturbing as we were doing the reading. Reading the lines of the congregation is called to read. Don't we feel tremble when we say, He deserves death. Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you? Certainly you are also one of them, for your action betrays you. Let him be crucified. Let his blood be on us and on our children, among others. When we read those lines, clearly we think that it is not us who are saying these things about our Lord, but it was they. We would even derisively say in our minds, shame on them. We feel so righteous about ourselves and are judgmental on those people from Jesus' times for denying him, betraying him, torturing him and killing him. But then again, can we be so sure about our own innocence in all this? Are we any different from those people in the gospel who denied Jesus, betrayed Jesus, accused him and blamed him and mocked him and spat on him and tortured him and killed him? Are we any different? Are we any different from them? Can we just lay the blame of execution of Christ on those people from the past? Let us ask ourselves, what would we do today if Jesus is back on trial? Let us ask, how about us? How about us? Are we capable of such hatred, such thirst for blood as displayed in our reading? Don't we share the same brokenness of humanity with our brothers and sisters from Jesus' time? Jesus was on trial at Holocaust when 6 million Jews were killed. Jesus was on trial when Armenians were massacred. Jesus was on trial when Cambodian genocide took place under Khmer Rouge. Jesus was on trial in Rwanda when 1 million people were hacked to death. Jesus was on trial during apartheid regime. Today it continues in Syria, in Palestine, in Sudan, in Egypt, in Somalia, Myanmar, among other places. Today, when we don't raise our voice and influence against those who are involved in human trafficking, are we also not implicated in these crimes? Today, when we remain silent on the proliferation of assault weapons, the modern day equivalent of cross as an instrument of execution, are we not being complicit in gun violence in America? When we wear clothes and shoes made in sweatshops in Bangladesh and other developing countries where people work in unsafe and unsanitary conditions for meager wages, are we not somehow participating in the exploitation of fellow humanity? We could go on and on. Yes, we are capable of doing evil. Yes, we are culpable in complicit in the violence against fellow human beings. But friends, there is good news. Our brokenness, our confusion are not the end. There is a silver lining beyond this. Just as we are capable, broken, confused, we are also the beneficiaries of the grace of God. All the while Jesus was being abused and mocked and tortured by the crowd, Jesus never wavered in his love for humanity. He stared back to the crowd with love without blinking. Broken and confused as we are, we will be taken up into the greater mystery of God's ultimate victory over death. A new dawn awaits us. But that is jumping ahead. Right now, we need to be here. We need to tarry here. We linger here at the foot of the cross. But now is the time for us to ponder the ways we need to be restored, to be renewed, to be renovated and recreated and born again.